Hello and a warm welcome back to the Football Postcast here on The Racing Post, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. We've reached the quarterfinals of Euro 2020 and there's so much exciting action to preview. To do exactly that, it's Jack Reeve joined by Dan Childs and Bobby Jackson from The Racing Post Sport Desk. Brilliant to have you along today, gents, and so much good stuff to get through. I wanted to start with the outright market, and let me read it to you. England 15-8, Spain 3-1, Italy 4-1, Belgium 7s, Denmark 10s, Switzerland 25-1, Czech Republic 25-1, Ukraine 33-1. Dan, if I would have told you at the start of the tournament that we would be in the quarterfinals of Euro 2020 with England 15-8 to win the tournament, would you have believed me?
I'd have believed you that we'd be in the quarterfinals, because I did think that we were one of the teams most likely to contend for the trophy. I think we're a better side than we were when reaching the semi-finals at the last World Cup. But not the price. I wouldn't have thought we'd be that short. But I don't think that's necessarily people getting carried away. I think it's more a reflection of the draw. You wouldn't have believed that England would, be in a position where they'd have to beat Ukraine and then the winner of Czech Republic and Denmark, to reach the final. And then even if you get to the final, you've got no threat of France, probably the best team potentially in the tournament, no threat of them being there. So I think that's the reason the price has come down so much.
Yeah, it's very favourable for England now, Bobby, isn't it? I mean, France have gone, Germany have gone, Portugal have gone, the group of death, they've all died.
Yeah, I mean, we probably thought one or maybe more of them would have managed to get through to this quarterfinal stage, and you fancied France at the very least to be pushing on and trying to add the European Championships to the World Cup that they won recently as well. But I mean, it's been a wide open competition, and I think a lot was said about that before it got underway, that the year and a half that we've really had building up to it in domestic football, at the stop start without fans, and when we did get back underway, games just coming week after week, rather two games a week and non-stop really through into the Champions League and deep into those European competitions, you felt tiredness and fatigue could play a part, and you do wonder if maybe through the group stages we did see a few fatigued performances from players, and ultimately that's possibly led to some of those big names dropping out. It's been a fantastic competition, particularly since we've got through to the quarterfinals now. That round of 16 was remarkable, some of the games in that. I just hope that we've not really seen the best of it yet, and there's still more to come in these latter stages.
It feels that way, doesn't it? Dan, obviously England, Spain, Italy, Belgium at the top of the market. We all know about them. Denmark, the fifth favourites at 10s. Now, I know your colleague Mark Langdon was very sweet on Denmark prior to the tournament. He was backing them, I think at the time they were about 28-1. Are they the main threat outside of the obvious four now?
Yes, I think Denmark are actually a little bit overpriced. You don't really want to say that, because it would mean if they go all the way that they would be stopping England reaching the final. But I think they are the real danger, I think, to stop England reaching that final. They just seem to be gaining strength with every game, don't they? I mean, the 4-1 against Russia, and an even better performance, I thought, the 4-0 against Wales. They're on a bit of a roll. Czech Republic, won't be an easy one for them. But no, I think they could go all the way. I'm not totally sold on Spain. I thought they made hard work of beating Croatia in that game. I think they're short enough for around 3-1. I mean, don't forget they've only beaten Slovakia in 90 minutes. Italy would be the side I would fancy from that half of the draw. I just get the feeling every team in a tournament, has a game where they have to kind of dig deep and not be at their best and come through. Italy kind of had that, didn't they, against Austria? They were superb in the group stage. I mean, if they get back to that kind of form, I think they could be a real threat to win it.
Bobby, in terms of digging deep, it feels like that's a good way to describe England, the favourites now for the tournament, four consecutive clean sheets. The last time that happened for England in a major tournament was 1966, and we all know what happened there. I guess the only criticism of Southgate's side at the moment is lacking somewhat of attacking flair. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think pragmatism has been the way forward for Southgate, hasn't it? He's looked into what it really takes to go all the way in a competition, and it's great to have all that attacking talent available to him, the plethora of options that he has available. We're yet to even see Jadon Sancho, a player who we just saw yesterday is making a big money switch to England and Manchester United now. We've not really seen Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who was fantastic for Everton last season. He's sort of stayed true with his forward line in terms of Kane and Sterling, rotated a little bit slightly behind that, but it's built, isn't it, on this fantastic defensive platform, really solid, really well organised. But then I look through the rest of those names you were just talking about, and Belgium, one of them that have been strong defensively. Italy have been great going forward, but with that have also been able to keep clean sheets along the way. And Spain as well are quite solid at the back. These are real possession-based teams, but they're really proactive with that possession. It's not sideways, it's not backwards, that they're getting on the front foot trying to cause problems. That's the difference I think I see between those other three teams in England. I think England has still been a little bit too patient at times, and that's where I worry if they come up against one of those teams, obviously in the final, if we get there, we'll avoid them until that point. But yeah, I think so far so good that they've done what they needed to. Those clean sheets, fantastic to be building from, and hopefully Harry Kane, now having scored one against Germany, can start chipping in with a few more to support Raheem Sterling.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's briefly touch on that win against Germany, Dan. I mean, the first 10 minutes, it was all Germany. We rode our luck slightly with Müller missing that one-on-one opportunity, but it seemed relatively controlled. Kane off the mark, Sterling, you know, buzzy as he has been the whole tournament. It feels like they're in a good place at the moment.
It does. I think there's a danger that you can sometimes, you know, get carried away by the result rather than necessarily the performance. I thought, you know, let's be honest. I mean, up until the England goal, I mean, could any of us see a goal coming? You know, the game was dying in the second half. England hadn't had I think it was England's first shot in the second half that we scored with. I do think there are risks attached as well that nobody really seems to mention about playing so cautiously. You know, by having games that are that tight, when you've got so many attacking players to choose from, you are relying heavily on keeping clean sheets. And let's be honest, you know, who would have expected Thomas Müller to miss that chance when he goes clean through? You know, if he scores, then it's a completely different game. So yes, it's fantastic. We are tough to score against, and we've gone through so far playing that way. I do get a little bit concerned. You know, it's not always possible to keep nicking games all the time, and if you've got so much in your armoury going forwards, would it be, you know, that harmful to use a little bit more of it, and still, you can still be quite solid? I mean, you can play even with your two holders. You know, you can get an extra attacker into the side rather than going with, you know, as we saw against Germany, with three centre backs, you know, and two holding midfield players. I just think it's a little bit overkill on the side of caution and maybe unnecessary.
Yeah, we'll be talking about England lots more later in the show. Let's have a brief look at the top goal scorer market there. Cristiano Ronaldo tops the market at 11-8. He's on 5 goals. Of course, Portugal no longer in Euro 2020. Patrick Schick for Czech Republic at 4-1, second in the market. And then recognisable names from there down: Lukaku, 6s, Sterling, 7s, Immobile, 22s, Harry Kane down there at 28-1. Bobby, if you were going to have one bet in this market, who are you looking at?
I was interested in Lukaku before the competition got underway, and I'd probably steer away from him a little bit now, just because, as we'll probably talk about later on, I think Italy are going to see off Belgium in the next round. So obviously he'd have to score three and see his side lose if my prediction of Belgium going out is correct. I think Sheik is one to be looking at. Again, I feel that Denmark might have too much for the Czech Republic, but he's only trailing Cristiano Ronaldo by one. I think he's certainly got a goal in him and appears to be the main sole threat for the Czech Republic when they do get it forward, that they're hanging a lot of their hopes on him. But I'd maybe be looking into that Italian side. I think Ciro Mobley is a player who's really got the ability to go and press on in this competition and cause further problems as they go deeper. I do expect Italy to be getting to the final. That's the path that I've plotted out for them. So I think there's a fair bit of value in him.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, I've mentioned Ronaldo is the favourite at 11-8. Would you be backing a player who's not going to feature again at the tournament?
No, I think that's too risky as always. I mean, there's still a lot of games, you know, to go, aren't there? I mean, you know, all of the players that are left in it have got the potential to play three more games and a lot could happen in that time. I think Sterling's the most obvious one to oppose him with. I mean, he has become sort of England's, you know, main goal scoring threat, you know, at this tournament. Even in the Germany game, he had that, you know, great long range effort, didn't he? You know, before he actually scored, he's offering a threat in behind all the time. I know England don't score many goals and create a lot, as we mentioned, but he is the main threat and he's full of confidence. Three goals already, could have three more games to play, you know, so he looks a big price at 7-1. One even bigger, who's only on one goal less, he's got two goals, is Kasper Dolberg, is 80-1 for Denmark. And he's a bit of a streaky scorer. He started off earlier in his career, he scored a lot of goals for Ajax. Wasn't in the Denmark team at the start of this tournament, but got his chance, you know, against Wales. Scored two goals, good finishes. Going to be full of confidence now. And if you think that Denmark may still have, you know, two or possibly three games to play, plenty of chances there, you know, possibly for him, you know, to get close to Ronaldo. Looks a big price to me, 80-1.
Right, let's move into the quarterfinal fixtures then. Four to get through, obviously. Let's start with Switzerland-Spain. This one at 5 p.m. on Friday, the 2nd of July in St. Petersburg. Switzerland 9-2, 11-4 the draw, 4-6 Spain. Bobby, take it away with this game.
Yeah, I think Spain for me will come through this one. We saw Switzerland, of course, in the previous round put in that hugely dramatic performance to see off France. Remarkable that they managed to come back in the latter stages, that those two goals in the final 10 minutes to make it 3-3, force extra time, and then I don't know about everyone else, but whenever it gets to extra time and England aren't involved, I always want to see penalties. So I was glad to see it get through to the shootout. And then Kylian Mbappe, of course, missing the last one for France. So Switzerland go through, but I just don't see Switzerland being able to repeat that sort of performance again against the Spain side, who for me have looked better than France did at the tournament. France had not really stepped up to the levels we'd seen of them in the past consistently throughout this Euros. Whereas Spain, I think even when they weren't scoring goals at the start, they looked assured and confident in what their approach was. They were very much happy to keep the ball. They've got the most possession average of any side in the competition so far, 67.5% throughout their four games. So I think Spain will win this one. The price probably isn't big enough for me just to be getting on a Spain winner. I think they'll probably do it by a low scoring margin. So I'm looking at under 2.5 goals maybe in this one. Five of the eight games in the last 16 had under 2.5 goals in 90 minutes. Although we saw some finish dramatically and some go through to extra time, that the majority just about were under 2.5 goals. I also like the look of cards in this one as well. And that comes down to the fact that Switzerland have picked up the most yellow cards in the competition, joint most yellow cards. They've received 9 so far. You can attribute a fair few of them to Granit Xhaka, who won't be available for this game. He is going to sit out, but just the fact that Spain are going to have so much ball, it's probably going to be a frustrating afternoon for Switzerland. I think there's going to be a few feet in trying to nick possession back, missed time tackles, tiredness, all of those sorts of things, and a little bit of desperation maybe as the game goes on. So I think over 3.5 cards in this game also stands out to me.
Where are you at with Switzerland, Dan? It was a remarkable victory over France, wasn't it?
It was, and I was so impressed with them. I have to be honest. You know the manner of their performance. You know, they all kept trying to be positive. Often when you see a team go in front early on, they'll just sit back and try and hang on for the rest of the game. But they, you know, came again towards the end of the game and were going for it in extra time as well, you know, and against a big nation like France, I was really impressed by that. And you can see where I'm going with this. So I actually think they're a little bit overpriced to pull off another shock. I'm going to go with Switzerland to qualify from this tie. I'm not totally sold on Spain, I have to be honest. They've played in the group stage all of their three games at home, still didn't win the group. You know, the only game they won, okay, they won it after that howler by Dubravka got them on their way. They won, they hammered Slovakia, who let's be honest, are one of the poorest teams in the tournament. Then against Croatia, they've responded well to the own goal, got themselves in front, and shipped two goals near the end of the game. And in extra time, Croatia have missed two good chances that could have put them in front in extra time. They could have got knocked out there as well. I know they've started scoring goals, and it helps that Morata's now got his goal because he was looking very edgy in front of goal. But I still feel with them that, yes, they keep a lot of possession. They look good in midfield. I'm not sure about them in both penalty boxes. I don't think they've got outstanding quality up front. And I think they're a little bit shaky potentially at the back. And the Swiss, I think they do offer a threat. I mean, they've been in the past, they've often been tagged as a team. I've said it myself, that they lack a bit of a cutting edge. But watching them this tournament, Seferovic looks a different player, a real threat in the air. And Bola, who's playing up with him, has looked real pacey and strong. And they look at a decent front two at this tournament. And I just think if they play with the same spirit and the same attitude, they're not out of this game. And for me, at the prices, I would take a chance on them.
Switzerland, fancied by Dan Charles in the opening quarter final. The next game on the Friday, 8 p.m, Belgium against Italy. Arguably the highest quality match here. 23-10, Belgium. 21-10, the draw. 11-8, Italy. Bobby, you can start with this one. Two sides who we know all about and will be fancied in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, this is the biggest game, isn't it, in this stage of the competition, the most mouth-watering tie of the Euros at the moment. And I think, had we seen both teams going into this game at full strength, and we might still well get that to happen, then I think it would be much tougher for me to pick a winner. But the reports we're seeing is that Kevin De Bruyne could be out with an injury. Eden Hazard might also be missing with an injury. I think it's more so the De Bruyne absence that sort of steers me away from Belgium a little bit. I like the price for Italy to just win this one in 90 minutes. We saw what they did against Austria, not a performance that was up to the standards that they'd shown earlier in the competition, but coming through it in extra time, and they're now on this incredible run, aren't they? 31 games unbeaten, setting a new national record. And they don't tend to concede too many goals. It's what I went back to a little bit earlier, that there seem to be a lot of sides that can control possession, control the games really well. And with that, they just are strong defensively. They're playing their football in opposition territory. Belgium themselves are a good side. They're ranked number one in the world. They're unbeaten in 13. They've won five in a row. But it's just the absence of De Bruyne that really puts me off them in this game. And then you look at the chances created as well. When it's a tight match like this, if they did have their full strength 11s out, for instance, and you think, well, Italy, not just controlling possession, but they're making it count. They've created more chances than anyone else in this competition, 87. You look at Belgium, despite having all that attacking flair and Romelu Lukaku, who can put it away, they're 18th in the rankings of 24 teams in the competition for chances created, just 38 so far. Scotland, Poland, Turkey have all played one game fewer than Belgium at the moment. They still created more chances. So I just don't think that Martinez has got them playing in the right manner. And I think Italy will edge this.
I remember the Belgium-Denmark game, Dan. And although Belgium won that game, Denmark were ahead for a large chunk. And not only did they look defensively quite vulnerable, they were struggling to create chances. And now with the exclusion of De Bruyne as well, it's going to be a big ask for Belgium here.
It is, yeah. I mean, obviously, the fitness of De Bruyne is going to be, you know, key, isn't it? I mean, but, you know, the fact that he's gone off, you know, tried to carry on, didn't he, in the second half of the Portugal game and was forced off is not good news, is it? He's missed training this week. Eden Hazard looks like his tournament could be over as well. So, two I mean, I know Hazard's had his problems recently, but I thought he was looking a bit sharper in that game than he has done for a long time. And he's a world-class player. So you potentially lose those two, and it just takes such a lot out of the side. And as you just said there, Jack, they've not actually been that impressive anyway. They've been nicking games. 2-1, they were battered for 23-6 and won the game basically because of De Bruyne's brilliance, his assist and his fantastic finish. And the Portugal game, they were really just defended for most of that game, lost a shot count 21-6. Portugal, you know, hit the post, you know, had you know, some real good chances and just couldn't quite get the job done. I just think, you know, you carry on playing like that, and especially without your top attacking players. I mean, you've got Lukaku, who now is absolutely massive. I did think he was outstanding in that Portugal game, even just with his hold-up play, just to take the pressure off a little bit off of that overworked defence. But against Italy, who for me are capable of playing a lot better than they did against Austria, did a lot better when the subs came on. Chiesa and Pessina came on, scored the goals. Mancini, you know, unlike Martinez, he's probably going to be looking at his starting lineup and making tactical changes to make it stronger rather than making enforced changes, which are going to probably make Belgium weaker. So Italy, for me, I said earlier on in the show that they've got a great chance of going all the way, and I think they'll win this game in normal time.
Italy 11-8 in the 90 minutes. Let's move on to Saturday's action then, the day that England fans will be eagerly awaiting. There is a game before England, though, and it comes in Czech Republic, Denmark, 14-5, Czech Republic, 11-5, the draw, 11-10, Denmark. I mean, Denmark, the favourites, Bobby, and rightfully so, but Czech Republic, they've impressed so far.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were talking about Denmark before the competition, and I was one of those that had sort of plotted out their path and potential. It was always difficult, I think, when you didn't quite know what third place teams might go through, but you always felt it looked favourable for Denmark if they could finish second in their group to get a decent run through towards the quarterfinals, semis and potentially final. But likewise, Czech Republic, I think that there were people also talking about them before the competition got underway. Of course, we know two of their players very well from West Ham and in the Premier League, and Thomas Suchek and Vladimir Soufal. But they have got a deeper squad than that, and they don't go much deeper than sort of 11, 12, 13 players. You're then struggling for quality. But that nucleus of the team is very solid and well organised, and they seem to know exactly how they want to play their football. Patrick Schick, of course, has really shown up at this competition. Some remarkable goals from him and the talisman that the team are hanging their hopes on. But the story of the tournament is Denmark, isn't it? For many reasons. And I think they've just started to build momentum after what was a very difficult start to the competition for them. They've found their feet, scored 8 goals now over the course of the last 2 games. That 4-1 win over Russia, the 4-0 win over Wales. And I've just got enough faith in them that they will be able to see off the Czech Republic in this game. I also was having a little bit of a look into how Denmark's games have sort of panned out in the competition so far. And they've led 1-0 at half-time in the last 3 games. I think that looks a very big price for them to be leading 1-0 at half-time. 17-5, around that you can get for it, as maybe for them to be having that slight advantage at the break. Dan before was talking about Kasper Dolberg as well. He's a player that's maybe one to keep an eye on if they are to go and get the goals in this game. He might be the one to break the deadlock.
4 goals in consecutive games for Denmark. Dan, they look strong, don't they?
They do, and I fancy them. I think they'll justify a favouritism in this one. Don't think it'll be easy. The Czechs, I thought we did a great job, on the Netherlands in that game. I just feel that I agree with Bobby that they've got like a group of, you know, maybe 11, 12, 13 players. And beyond that, there's a lack of depth. And I think that could be an issue if they fall behind in a game. The only time that's happened was against England. And you're kind of looking at their bench and thinking, who they're going to bring on to kind of change the course of the game. And I think they struggled to do that. against England. And I think they're a team that relies a lot on sort of getting in front and then managing the game and holding on. They've got like a set piece threat that they're strong from. I feel that Denmark with Kiera and Christensen can probably handle that. And they're also a threat on the counter attack with Sheik's movement. But I just think Denmark have got more. I mean, they started the tournament without Damsgaard in the side. I mean, he's come in and looked, you know, real quality, giving them a different dimension. You've got Braithwaite's, you know, directness and his pace. Dahlberg's come in, got his goals, looking confident. Loads of energy in the midfield with Delaney and Højbjerg. And as I mentioned, beyond that first 11, they've got players that can come on and affect the game. They brought on the Brentford boys, Jensen and Nurgard, after an hour against Wales. And I thought I just helped them control the game. You know, really, really good on the ball, composed. You know, and they've got the ability to do that, Denmark, a deeper squad. And I think that'll be key here, Denmark for me.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Let's move on to the game that all England fans will be watching, 8 o'clock on Saturday, Ukraine against England in Rome. 15-2 Ukraine, 7-2 the draw, 2-5 England. Bobby, take it away with this one. England very short. Are you looking elsewhere in other markets?
Yeah, I think you need to, really. I do think England will win it. We've seen England in these competitions before, haven't we? Go into these types of games. You think back to Iceland, as much as we want to move on from that, but you're so confident going into it. You're not quite looking at just the England win. The price isn't big enough. You're trying to add something else in. You could even go back to Croatia at the World Cup in the semi-finals, a game again you felt England should come through. This falls into that category once more. They've shown enough against Germany and in the group stage defensively that they can control matches. They've not been prolific at the other end, but they've been able to just about sneak through, whether it's by the one goal or, as we saw against Germany, by two goals. Now, I think England and under 2.5 is where I'd be looking at this one. Decent price at about 2-1, you can get that. Yet to concede a goal, looking really well organised. That back line, whether it's a 4 or a 3, as we saw Southgate go to against Germany, seems to be well organised, disciplined and know their roles. I like the 3 when Walker was in there and he adds a bit of pace, but I don't think that'll be the way he'll go. It'll be the back 4 against Ukraine. He won't be as concerned about the threat as he was against Germany. So I hope it would be Stones and Maguire in the heart of that defence, both very capable of playing a pass and stepping out of defence, which is probably what we'll need just to try and break that midfield line and get England on the front foot. Ukraine have also failed to score in 2 of the last 3 games against England too. So I think there's a bit of a precedence there of England being able to control the matches when they take on Ukraine. The other one I'd looked at was a half-time, full-time, draw half-time, England full-time. That's been the case in 2 of the 4 games for England so far. I expect that Ukraine are going to come into this one thinking, we're going to try and nick this game. We're not going to be leaving ourselves wide open for England to go and score an early goal. So I think it could be quite a tense and tight opening half, as we saw against Germany, with neither side really able to create those clear-cut openings. But ultimately, I just think England will have the talent, whether that be from the bench with the options Southgate has got, his 5 substitutions to boost them, or the players on the pitch to do it in the second half. So you can get that one at 11-4, the half-time, full-time draw England.
Ukraine, Dan, the weakest side left in the tournament so far. Can they threaten England?
It's possible. I don't expect Ukraine to go through, though. I do get the feeling that England are probably a bit too short on the prices. You've got to bear in mind this game's not now at home. You know, you're playing on neutral territory, but I've got a very similar theme as Bobby here, but I'm gonna channel my inner Gareth Southgate and go a little bit more cautious with England than under 3.5 goals, a shade of odds on, just to play a bit safer. I just feel that it's going to be more of the same again from England. I think he'll probably still go with quite a defense, a cautious sort of lineup. Even if he changes the shape from a back 3, you can expect, there'll be 2 holding midfield players there. You know, whether Henderson comes in for one of them, we'll have to wait and see. But, it'd be interesting to see if Grealish, gets a start. I mean, everybody talking about Sterling, but Grealish has provided, two superb assists in the last 2 games, and was also involved in the first England goal against Germany. I just think that, you know, they should get the goal at England. But you do run the risk, as I said earlier, you know, playing a cautious lineup, you run the risk of another game, you know, like Scotland. I mean, Scotland, don't forget, won the shot count against England and probably had, you know, slightly better chances. Now, Ukraine, yes, they're the weakest team left in the tournament, but they're probably a little bit stronger than Scotland, who England, you know, kind of struggled against. So they have got some dangerous players. Ruslan Malinovsky of Atalanta, who's actually left out of the starting lineup against Sweden, came on, you know, looked quite effective. He's a bit of class, you know, can get you a goal and provide a killer pass. You got Yarmolenko, you know, who's a danger man. Zinchenko, I mean, with his goal against Sweden and a brilliant assist, you know, for the winning goal for the substitute. You know, he's a good player as well. And you've got Karavayev, I thought, on the other side, the other wing back, you know, was bombing forward and looked a threat as well. So they're not, you know, not without their threats, Ukraine. The other side of it is how tired they're going to be. I mean, they put a big effort in against Sweden, and players on both sides seem to be dropping like flies, didn't they? So you wonder how much they'll have left. But that's a game that, you know, England should win. Just squeeze that extra bit of value and, like I say, back them to winning a low-scoring game.
Dan and Bobby, both cautiously optimistic about England's chances. So we've got the semi-finals on Tuesday the 6th and Wednesday the 7th. Dan, you're going for Switzerland against Italy and Denmark against England. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Bobby, you're looking at Spain, Italy and Denmark, England.
Yeah, that's how it's padded out for me.
There we go. So we can agree on most things, but that Switzerland-Spain game. Dan, if you were to have one bet this week, what would it be?
It's Italy for me to beat Belgium. I just think that they are going to step it up again after that Austria game. And I think Belgium, I fear for them with the injuries they've got.
And Bobby, how about you?
I like the sound of that one as well, but I wouldn't be afraid to also be back in Denmark against Czech Republic. I think the price looks pretty good for the Danes to be going through and continuing their journey into the semis.
Excellent. Friday and Saturday both look brilliant. A big week for England. Hopefully Southgate's men can get it done. We'll be back next week to look ahead to the Euro 2020 final. Until then, gamble responsibly and enjoy the football. Thanks to Dan and thanks to Bobby. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye.